This episode of Ticket Ripper is brought to you by the story of a boy whose uncle abandons him and sets him on the path of a four-year journey where he will experience war, armies, dark elves, normal elves, elves with magic, elves without magic, people with magic, which I guess you could call them wizards, lava, goblins, dragons, a 20-foot spider, all for what, you ask? What is the mission that this boy took 4 years to do? Drop a ring in lava? Welcome back. If you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. My name, as always, has been Khamin, your humble host, the greatest host of all time, coming at you alive and well from Austin, Texas, or the Austin, Texas greater area. Hey, what's up, baby? What's up? How you doing? I'm doing good. I wasn't talking to myself, but I answered my own question. Right off the bat, I just want you to know, I hope the title was very clear about this. I am not going to be talking about House of the Dragon this week. That's going to be next week. This week, I am going to be talking about something that actually released this week, which was the She-Hulk Disney show. And then listen, I know I talk about Marvel a lot, and I know I talked about She-Hulk quite a bit in the last episode, but here's the thing about it. I do what I want, so you can't tell me what to do. Because I do what I want. Do you understand that? So without further ado, we're going to continue on. I'm hoping this episode's not going to be too long because, I mean, I don't really know how the train of thought is going to go, but let's get into it. So if you haven't seen She-Hulk, the first episode, obviously you can pause this, go watch it, come back to it, or not. I really don't care. Only about like four of you listen to this, so it really doesn't matter. Oh, actually, before I start, I do want to just say, if you are keeping up with The Bachelorettes or this season of The Bachelorettes, you can actually go and get my thoughts on all that on the Bad Batch, which are episodes that I'm releasing in between these episodes to kind of catch up on The Bachelorettes and keep up with all that. I am thinking of probably doing or folding in the next season of Love Island as well, because Love Island is a superior, it's a superior show, mate. I can't do a British accent. I'm starting to notice that my British accent is not as good as I initially thought it was. But anyway, continuing on, back to She-Hulk. If you have not seen the episode, go watch it. Here's the thing. You were probably all expecting me to absolutely, because if you listened to the last episode of The Ticket Ripper, you know that I was not expecting this show to be great. Which, I mean, to be fair, like, I'm not going to say it's the greatest show of all time, but when you watch the trailer, there's something you're really, really expecting. Like, there's a very kind of feel to the entire thing. And I went over this a lot in the last episode, but when I was watching this, and I watched, keep in mind, I watched this, I wake up at like 5 a.m. now. So I watched this 5 a.m. in my bed, before work. It's Thursday morning. I'm looking for something to watch, and I remember, oh, She-Hulk is on. So it's 5 a.m. and I'm watching this. So already I'm not in a place to enjoy something. And here's what I will say about She-Hulk. I really, really liked it. By the end of it, I was so surprised at how much I actually genuinely enjoyed it, because I was fully expecting to watch, like, I watched this stuff to give it the full Ticket Ripper. I'm gonna give it the full rip, you know. I'm gonna rip into it, lay into it as much as I can. But I don't know, man. there's just, at least on the first episode, there's not a whole lot that I can rip into. And I don't think I'm going to do an episode for every single episode. I think I might stop here with the She-Hulk on this episode and then just do like a full season, like recap at the end, or a full season, like my thoughts on it. Because I mean, you don't need to hear my thoughts on every single episode. I wish that they would just, you know, release it all at once, just barf it out. That'd be great. Because then I could just watch it, you know? But no, I have to wait every single week. And yeah, I'm probably going to do the same thing for House of Dragon, or House of the Dragon, House of a Dragon. I don't know what it's called. I've been calling it House of Dragons, and apparently that's wrong. We're going to see how House of Dragons, or House of the Dragons, or House of a Dragon, what, I don't know which one it is. We're going to see how that holds up to the OG show. But She-Hulk, I genuinely enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was genuinely, at least, and I keep saying this, but at least the first episode, I was genuinely unexpected for me. You know, obviously it does raise some questions, because of how cameo-y it is. One of them being, the Sicarian ship that, like, causes the wreck that gives, Jennifer her powers. Like, what's going on with Sakaar? Like, is Sakaar, who's ruling Sakaar now? Is it still the Grand Master? Is he still looking for Hulk? Is he hunting him down? How's that going to progress? All that kind of stuff. And how's that going to affect, is that going to affect at all Jennifer's show, or how is that going to play into anything else? Because you can't just throw things into, you know, Marvel properties and just not have them touch anything, you know? Like, oh yeah, we're just going to have a Sicarian ship on the planet Earth, and we're not ever going to bring that up again. It's just, it's getting so, so insane, so saturated. Sorry, the planet that you know, the Marvel universe takes place in now is becoming so saturated with like special people that it's just kind of like it makes everything, it's washing everything out, you know? Like, it was one of the questions that I had with Moon Knight, like, where were, like, some of the events in some of these movies and some of these like shows are significant. For example, in Moon Knight, I don't know if you remember this, but what's his, Khonshu rewinds space, like the stars, so that they can see where the stars were like 3,000 years ago. Now, keep in mind, I don't know if this was just a visual trick, but everybody was seeing it. This would have been one of the most significant, like, scientific happenings in history. Like, also, it would have, like, I think genuinely it would have altered, like, a lot. Like, if it wasn't just a visual illusion and he actually was just, like, rewinding the cosmos, where the hell is the Earth 3,000 years ago? How are we doing 3,000 years ago? Like planet wise, you know, obviously he didn't rewind the planet, but like, there's gotta be something, like the moon has to be like, I don't know. I have to believe that something was different 3,000 years ago than it was now. But it very well couldn't have been, or however long ago the Egyptian stuff was. But you get what I'm saying. It's a very long time to go backwards. The cosmos, like where we're at in relation to everything else in the cosmos, affects a lot as far as like how Earth is doing. So I'm just confused as to like that's a huge deal. Like astrology wise, that's an enormous deal. Astronomy wise, that's an enormous deal. So I just want to know why that was never, you know, that didn't affect anything else in the Marvel universe. Which I mean, like, obviously they're not going to talk about everything that's ever happened, but like, that's a pretty big one. That's up there with like, you know, the Battle of New York. Like, oh yeah, like, you know, there was a huge battle of aliens, that the Avengers took care of in New York. Also, like, for some reason, a couple years later, just the time started rewinding, you know? It was just crazy. It was nuts. So yeah, that'll be fun to see how they try to, you know, play that all off. I don't know what their plan is for Moon Knight or like how he's, if he is going to play into anything else. That's the thing about it, is some of these characters, you have to believe that they're building them as just standalone characters, and they're not going to really go anywhere. So we'll see, but I don't know. She-Hulk, like one of the, crazy thing is it, at the end of Eternals, if you haven't seen Eternals, I mean, I would recommend go watch it. It's not terrible. It's not as bad as people made it seem. I get why people are upset with it, but it's not the greatest movie ever, but it's definitely not the worst Marvel movie, I think. It's down there. It's down there. But I wouldn't say that it's my least favorite. I just, you know, it's neutral. I'd say, you know, it kind of stood on par with Black Widow for me. The thing about the Eternals is that at the end of it, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. But at the end of it, a giant galactic being shows up in front of the Earth, and he's like enormous. Like you can see him, like he's the moon or something. And he pulls a lady off the planet and like talks to her in space. But like, keep in mind, like he split the clouds. So yeah, a gigantic, we just found out about Thanos. We just found out about the dude who could, you know, the stones that could snap everybody out of existence. And now there's a dude the size of 50 of our planets standing outside of one of our planets? Yeah, nah. Oh, sorry. I forgot to mention that one of them was inside of our planet, that our planet was just an egg. There's some stuff that's happening in these movies and in these shows that genuinely, like, it changes everything about what we know about reality. And I don't know, I feel like it hasn't really affected anything in the Marvel Universe, which is strange. Because I would think that it would. I would think that it would change completely. Like, basically, the planet as a whole, ever since Thanos, is just living in an apocalypse consistently. Because since then, like, it's just been nonstop. Like, oh, you know, the space rewinded. And now the freaking galactic beings are back. And they're over here. So, oh, that's cool. Robots last forever, apparently, androids. So yeah, I mean, it's very strange to see what they're doing. And you know, to be fair, in She-Hulk, the Sakaarian ship wasn't that big of a deal, but I imagine there's going to be a lot of big deals coming up in the show. So we'll see. But to go back to my point of what I was saying initially, it's getting saturated. There's so much happening. And I think they're going to weave a web that they can't really keep track of. I'm sure it's going to be a job now in Marvel to have people who keep track of all the, like, a continuity specialist. A continuity specialist. Well, actually, Steve Rogers was born in 1925. So technically, you couldn't go back to 1922 and kill Steve Rogers. Just stuff like that, you know. They're gonna have continuity errors, which I feel like they already are. Like, here's the thing about it is the whole man, I'm getting way off track here, but the whole Loki thing with at the end of it, the He Who Remains. So supposedly the idea is that there is only one timeline, the timeline that we are currently watching, where, you know, like the Avengers like win and all that kind of stuff. There's only one supposed timeline that that we can see, or that we can that happens, you know, and that's the whole purpose of the TVA, is that, you know, they maintain the timeline and keep it on the sacred timeline. But if that is true, if that timeline is true, then what sense does it make? Then that changes everything about how we can see Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. Because if it is true that, you know, if it, so like the way that I'm thinking of it is like, if Because the thing about Loki is that the events that happen in Loki are outside of time. They are so unlinear that they can affect movies that, you know, or things, stories that happen. Because you have to think that the He Who Remains dies at the end of time. And so the changes that that produces, because time, I guess, goes in a loop, the changes that that produces then goes, like, all of a sudden now that's starting to change everything in our current timeline. It's nuts, because basically what I'm thinking is, like, if that is the case, that, like, there's only one certain timeline, then what? Why is the multiverse a thing? Why do we go to a world where there are no Avengers who defeated Thanos in the way that they did and go back in time and all that? If that was the sacred timeline, why are there timelines where Doctor Strange and the Illuminati and Thanos on Titan, his home planet? It's strange, but I think, you know, I have two theories. One of them is, I think that those multiversal opportunities, or those multiversal, like branches, were opened up because of Loki, because of the effects of Loki. Or I think that we see our timeline here, that, like, you know, the prime timeline that we've been watching, as, like, one single line, one single loop. But imagine, and, you know, obviously the problem with the branches is that they don't want it to branch into a different timeline. I don't think that those timelines, I don't think that just because he's wanting not to branch into those timelines means that they don't exist, if that makes sense. I think that, because it's so weird, because he claimed that he defeated all the other versions of him, and that he wrangled it all into one timeline. But I think that really what he did was just, the word that he used was isolate it. And those multiverses still exist. Those different timelines still exist, but we are just not, he's protecting one timeline. But that doesn't make sense, does it? That doesn't make sense, though, does it? This is what I'm talking about. It gets so, so messy the more you think about it. Doctor Strange and Loki both seem to me to be contradicting things. Because, I mean, like, on one hand, like, sure, a multiverse and, like, time lines are, you know, different, but at the same time, they're kind of the same. Ultimately, they are versions of our, people make certain decisions. Like me right now, if I decide to end this podcast right now and just go sleep, that's a whole other path that I'm taking for today. You know, maybe it's not boosting me off of my timeline completely, but if I keep making those decisions different and different and different, all of a sudden I'm living a completely different life. If I decide to just, you know, leave my apartment and never come back and just, you know, go, you know, swimming in the ocean and swim across the ocean as far as I go, and then I die and get eaten by sharks, that's a completely different timeline. I might not have been, you know, planned to die that soon. So those are, you know, different timelines. And in that universe, now after my death, you know, when I swam into the ocean and got eaten by sharks, in that universe, now things are different to, you know, at least to the extent of me no longer existing. Doctor Strange, you know, obviously went into a different version of his universe where decisions were made differently. The timelines were completely changed, you know. And it's very confusing, because isn't that the purpose of the TVA, was to prevent stuff like that from happening, that we were supposed to be on this prime timeline? Which is why it leads me to believe that those other timelines still exist, but we are simply just, he put, like, blockers on ours. He built a wall around ours. So that, you know, we were safe from the multiversal war. It took me a long time and a lot of thinking to think of this, because it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense that Doctor Strange was able to do what he did, because supposedly, you know, if the he who remains is at the end of time, then he has already seen everything that Doctor Strange did. So supposedly he would, like, that would have been a moment where the TVA should have been involved, is what I'm saying. Him, Doctor Strange messing with timelines, messing with the multiverse, should have been a TV, like, that should have been a moment where the TVA was interjecting. It's very, a lot going on. It's very strange. But yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. There's a lot happening in the Marvel Universe, but I didn't even talk about She-Hulk. There's not a lot to talk about, to be honest. It's mainly, it's an origin story, so it's a lot of Bruce and Jennifer just kind of, he's teaching her how to be a Hulk. She obviously already has, like, the Smart Hulk going for her, which is really, really weird. I think it's because Bruce is, you know, the Smart Hulk, and his, you know, like, the whatever he did to himself, I think that she got it at that point. So, like, he has to some extent, like, modified the serum within his body, and that's why she gets the Smart Hulk serum. It's because he got the dummied down version that the United States military made to try to, you know, copy Steve Rogers, which didn't end up working out. I think that that's why she ended up being smart. It's funny. It's like, it's goofy. You know, I'm not going to say it's incredible. Like, the script at some point, I kid you not, Bruce Banner at one point literally says, bruh. And I will not lie to you. One of the funniest things I've ever heard in my entire life was this super old dude. Like, let's be real here. Got to be pushing like 50 now. This dude was like 25 in 13 going on 30. So, or supposedly he was playing a 30-year-old. So he's got to be easy 50 now. and he's over here saying, bruh, you just broke $1 million screen. Dude, take it easy, bud. Let's reel it back a little bit. Something about, I want to know why the Hulk is so insistent on being relevant. Because remember, he's so cringy. He said dab in the other one too. He dabbed in Endgame. So cringy sometimes. The cringiest, here's the thing I will say, like, I watched the entire episode and I really liked it. Even the end credits scene, you have to watch. It's very funny. I really liked the entire episode. The thing I will say, though, is, sorry, there was an alarm going off outside my house. Oops. The thing I will say, though, is the cringiest part of this entire show is the reviews. The reviews are exactly what you would expect in today's day and age for a show called She-Hulk. It is, like, you know, obviously there's people who, you know, like it, and there's, you know, good reviews and all that kind of stuff. But then there's the babies. And if you didn't like this show, like, you know, obviously there's, you know, a good amount of, like, personal taste going into it. But for most of these people who most of these reviews, you're a baby, dude. You're a baby. Like, you're a baby, dude. And it's a lot of men. It's a lot of men. And you know, I'm not gonna say that these men are hating on it just because it's a Hulk. You know, like a woman better, but, or a woman woman version, but like, I'm not going to say that that's the reason why, but if you read these reviews, it's very, very obvious that that's what their problem is. Let's see. I love it. I love reading this. Rubbish. Is that how easily one can get superpowers? It's not even funny as a joke, but, well, it's just one episode and completely not impressing. Ooh, typo on IMDb, you moron. The court science and villain, oh my god. I will never recommend this to my worst enemy to watch this on his sad day. Wow. It's not that bad. I'm going to tell you right now, this review, which is titled Rubbish on IMDb, it's a rubbish review. Disney is ruining Marvel. That's the title of this next one. Ugh, so many issues with this show. Overacting, terrible script, boring, the list goes on. Unless you really need something to watch, it's best to find something else. I don't really need something to watch because I have literally everything at my fingertips. We are in the world of streaming. So I'm obviously watching this by choice, guy. And also overacting, sure, but I mean, hasn't all of Marvel been for like years now? Terrible script. Pretty much the only people who have a good script nowadays is the guy who did Ragnarok. Even then, like, sometimes his scripts are just boring. Not boring. I mean, episode one was, you know, it's a little bit of a slow burn, but I would never say that I was bored. I was upset that it ended. Unless you really need something to watch. No, it's by choice because it's a good show. It's entertaining. I'm here to be entertained. Character development. She's just better. Get over it, haters. One star. That's, I heard a quote once, and it went something like this. Female characters in a modern media only have one character arc. Instead of going through trials and tribulation to become the best, final versions of themselves, he put a comma in between best and final, idiot, they only have to realize they were always awesome the entire time. They just need to stop doubting themselves. Does this sound familiar? Captain Marvel. You should probably get that checked out. That's probably COVID, buddy. Unfortunately, that's what we have here so far. I called it in the trailer. I watched. Don't expect any meaningful progression to a well-rounded character. I know I'm not. She's a bad Aish. I said Aish because I don't want to say the real word on this podcast because my mommy listens to this podcast. She's a bad Aish woman who doesn't need no Hulk. Oh, God. She's just better, and if you disagree, you're part of the problem. Listen, pal. Listen. Here's the thing about it. You stupid. Okay, here's the thing. I just spent the last 10 years and two Bruce Banners watching an angry, dumb, can't-speak dude just throw fists and cars. And finally, we get to a point where Bruce dabs. And you want me to start from scratch just because it's the woman version of it? It makes sense that she's already smart because she got Smart Hulk's blood. The serum is modified. It's the same, and like to the person earlier who said, wow, it's that easy to get powers. No, it really is. Literally in the original, in the Edward Norton Hulk movie, Abomination literally just says, hey, yo, is that his blood? Shoot me up, fam. And then turns into Abomination. And then actually Abomination knocks Mr. Green or Mr. Blue. He knocks him down. That guy gets a cut, and Bruce Banner's blood gets in that little cut, and his brain starts, like, engorging. It has always been that easy. That's the thing about it. That's why literally Hulk can't even have the government, like, have a hold of him. It's because that is that dangerous. That's how dangerous it is. I don't know where you guys lost sight of that. That is why the Hulk is so dangerous. You cannot make the Hulk bleed, but Bruce can. Bruce can bleed, and that's the only reason why she was able to get the blood is because Bruce was in human form. It's always been that easy. That's why Bruce has always been so paranoid. The only thing they have to realize were that they were awesome the entire time. Here's the thing about it, my guy. If that's what you got from Marvel, is that, oh, she didn't realize her true potential until she realized how awesome she was. You watched Captain Marvel behind a curtain, behind goggles that all you could see was how much you don't like women and how much you don't like people empowering women. Your issue with Captain Marvel, this whole like argument that like, oh, they don't have any kind of like character arc. What part of Captain Marvel didn't have a character arc? People were like, so like, ugh, because at the end of Captain Marvel, like there's the dude, like she trying to convince her that like, you know, only he, like, you know, or he helped her realize her true potential. She beats the hell out of him. Here's the thing about it. In Captain Marvel, this is a character who was taken from her planet by a civilization so that they could control and at some point possibly harness her power to murder innocents. When she finds out that that is not the case, she needs now to regain or reconnect with what it was that, you know, obviously A, gave her these powers in the first place, but also B, who she is as a human being. See, that's the thing about it, is they wiped everything from her memory. She has this weird desire to be, Captain Marvel has this weird desire to be, you know, like, she doesn't want to conform. She doesn't want to follow rules. She doesn't want to be what the Kree want her to be. And she doesn't understand that because she doesn't remember who she is. And then it isn't until she gets her memories back and she's able to get all those memories back that she understands why she's like that, who she is, what she's dealt with in the past, and why she has such a need to break the box that people put her in. That's the development there. That's the development. It's not necessarily her developing as a character like, oh, I have these powers and now I have to be, you know, better. No, she was the hero. She was a freaking jet pilot. Yo, you get in a jet and take those G's, homie. She was that person. But because the Kree wanted to harness her power, wanted to use her, they took that from her, and it was her taking that back. And it's the same thing with She-Hulk. It's not that she's better than Bruce. It's not that she's, you know, she doesn't need a character arc. It's that her character arc is different than Bruce's. She already has, she doesn't have all the struggle that Bruce dealt with, because Bruce figured all that out. He modified the serum inside of his body. He's now the smart Hulk, and now she is the She-Hulk. So her character arc is going to be different because she doesn't want to be a hero. She thinks that everything that Bruce is saying is a lie. She wants to be, you know, she has a career. She wants to be a lawyer. She, you know, or she is a lawyer and she's, you know, succeeding at that. But how is this going to affect her in that? How is this going to affect her in her life choices? Every single hero has to make a sacrifice. Steve Rogers had to sacrifice basically his entire life. You know, Bruce literally could not see, we've never seen Jennifer until now because Bruce could not see his family. I mean, be it for, like, Bruce was afraid to have a relationship with Natasha so much because, you know, what if he hulks out? What if he hulks out and hurts somebody? That's why it was so important for him to get smart, to get to the smart Hulk guy, so that he could control it. Jennifer doesn't have that issue because that's not her story. That's not her arc. Her arc is, I don't want to be a hero. I don't think I need to be a hero. And yet, I have a responsibility to be a hero. And she wants to do things, you know, via the law, which is probably going to be, you know, something that plays a huge part in her whole thing, is that I want to be an attorney. I just want to be an attorney. But how do I do that while simultaneously also being a 6'7", apparently, 6'7" green person? It's the world that the Marvel universe is in, like the Earth that we live on now, or that we're experiencing in the Marvel universe, is just overflowing with enhanced individuals, with enhanced people. Is individuals is the word that they use, with enhanced people. And there needs to be, like, those people don't have any representation. I mean, you know, Daredevil Matt, you know, like, he's the most representation that we've seen for just Spider-Man. But Spider-Man's, I mean, he's just a dude who's strong. As far as anybody's concerned, he's a normal kid. He's just a dude who's strong. She-Hulk and people like Abomination, like, they, people, other people like them, they cannot live their normal lives. They cannot... Like, there are people who are not going to be able to control their powers and stuff like that. They need, they need a lawyer who's going to stand behind them. I think that's, one of the things that She-Hulk is going to be, you know, very, you know, key in. But also, I think her, this entire arc is going to be that she is going to have to choose two lives. Either what she wants to do for her life and her career, and, you know, what she must do. What Bruce was saying is that she has a responsibility to protect people. I think she's going to hold out as long as she can, trying to do that via the law. But eventually, there's going to be a point where she cannot do that any longer. You guys are morons. These reviews are so funny to read because they're so, like, they're so just... It's just anger. It's just, it left a bad taste in their mouth and they can't get it out now. And they just have to go online and whine about it. 1 star, weak, uninteresting storyline, acting, directing, everything. Mark Ruffalo looks uninterested and embarrassed to be a Hulk in this. Mark Ruffalo was in this movie or in this show, at least the first episode, for 10 seconds. Backstory of She-Hulk has been written by a 3-year-old or, you know, Stan Lee. CGI is definitely not Marvel standard. I wouldn't say that. Honestly, the CGI was one of the most surprising parts of it. It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Keep in mind, I haven't seen all 4 episodes, so I don't know if these people have seen something else. But so far, it seems to be actually, in some cases, a little bit like on par with, you know, what I've seen before. Obviously, Thanos is like their golden standard, but like, keep in mind, like, not every CGI character in the Marvel Universe has been Thanos' golden standard. There is sincerely no attempt to build up interest of the viewer anywhere in the first 10 minutes of this episode. Lie. Just couldn't sit through it. Intolerable, to say at least. Lies. It's 2 stars. Okay, let's read a 2-star review. Maybe this will be better. This is legitimately atrocious in every way. Hey, buddy, maybe knock it down to 1 star then. It's unfortunate so many people are review bombing this show. It dilutes honest criticism that She-Hulk rightly deserves. Having sat through this unmitigated hot garbage, I can say soundly, it's actually bad. For starters, Jen Walters is absolutely insufferable. Lie. She's adorable. She's funny. It's great. Now, you can have a great show with an insufferable protagonist, Walter White. Okay. See, now you're comparing Walter White to Jen Walters? Gee, dude. Yep. Gee. They're very similar characters, huh? But here, the show doesn't portray her nagging, sanctimonious speeches as faults, but as strengths. And by extension, it feels like the show is lecturing you for 30 minutes straight about why we should appreciate self-righteous people who complain about everything. She's a lawyer, but worse, also she's a woman, but worse, the pacing handicaps any attempt at a story. Before you know anything about Jen, she's turning into She-Hulk, and the next thing you know, she's training with Bruce. There's no time to get to know her. For all its faults, at least Moon Knight gave us time to understand Steven as a person. So there's no time to get to know her because we went back in time to get to know how that all started. Because the show isn't about her becoming the Hulk. The show is about her being the Hulk. Why do you need to know who Jen Walters is? You're going to find out who Jen Walters is because Jen Walters is going to be Jen Walters for the entirety of the show. You're going to find out who she is next episode. And then we're going to get to see who she becomes at the end of this show. Isn't that funny? Isn't that crazy how shows work? How, like, you have to wait for to find out things? Isn't that insane how they reveal information as time goes by? Wow, that's incredible. I couldn't tell you anything about Jen except that she's a resentful lawyer. That's pretty much, I mean, yeah. The cherry on the top is the disastrous CGI and choreography. CGI? No. Choreography? I don't even know what the hell that means. They didn't dance. I must have watched the fight scene at the end 15 times for the laughs. She-Hulk's animation is so stiff in the action, and the characters change locations in every shot. Honestly, it plays like a student film. I will say that the fight scene so far hasn't been that great. But at the same time, I don't think that this is going to be a show where the fight scenes are the main aspect of it. Which, you know, for me, I'm a John Wick bro, so, like, that kind of hurts, but at the same time, like, no, that's not what the show's about. I don't think this show's gonna be super action-y. I mean, look at whatchamacallit. The same things could have been said for the choreography in Miss Marvel. I mean, the fight scenes in those were just terrible. And I mean, I never did an episode on Miss Marvel. If you have not seen Miss Marvel, I talked about it a little bit, but it's good. It's good. I love the representation of the Muslim culture. It's beautiful. And I thought the show was, you know, good. I didn't love it. Because I feel like there's something Marvel-y missing about it. But, you know, I feel like for a younger audience, it did really well. And one of the things I really, really enjoyed about it was one of the things I watched was I wanted to see how she incorporated her culture into her, like, hero side of it. Which I mean, she ended up doing, which I like. But yeah, I mean, it's a good show. I wouldn't say, like I said, my favorite. 2 stars, a bit unfair. Here we go. I know it's a bit unfair to review the show after just one episode, but here it goes. I have been looking forward to the show because I enjoyed She-Hulk when I was young. But so far, the story is crap and all over the place and often doesn't make sense. The first episode is mainly about how she became She-Hulk. It's fine to make it about that, but I got tired of the relationship between Hulk and She-Hulk and how she did things so much faster. The reason for this? Because she is a woman and have to keep up with all the crap from men. It doesn't make sense at all. Yet again, another person who didn't think before they wrote this review. She-Hulk also make fun of Captain America. First of all, it's not funny to me at all. And who care if he had sex or not? But it sometimes also feel like hashtag me too. And if it was jokes about the female superhero, it would have been too much. And the CGI is just terrible. So again, CGI is just terrible. This dude brings up the fact that she ragged on Captain America for being a virgin. Which, by the way, was one of the funniest things in the show. But it feels to me like hashtag me too. And if it was jokes about a female superhero, it would have been too much. Hey, buddy, you know why they don't put why you don't hear Hulk like, oh man, that Natasha's got a great badunkadunk. I bet you she's a virgin. Hell no. You see those tight pants. You know why they're not doing that? Because it's gross. Because it's gross and it's been happening forever, dude. If you want to see jokes about women, just look at the entire history of television. Women have been the butt of a joke for so long. What do you want? What do you want? Okay? And bringing up the hashtag Me Too, dude. You could not be more separated from what the hell that Me Too movement was for. Disgusting how your mind is, like, just so lost. People just don't get a hold of things. People don't grasp concepts very weirdly. I'm going to read one more because I just love all of these. 1 out of 10, complete garbage. subtle. The scene where she explains containing her anger to Bruce over catcalls and mansplaining is utterly cringeworthy and indicative of the show. Bruce Banner was abused as a child, watched his mom die in front of him. His girlfriend killed. Oh, His was girlfriend killed, gotcha. He battled an alien invasion in New York, left the planet for the emptiness of space to protect the ones he loved, didn't choose to have the Hulk in his life, and more. The two people aren't even comparable. The show is lacking in writing, plot, complexity, depth, and general watchability. So, again, that speech of why Jen is able to maintain her composure, because that's the thing about it, is with all of these things that you just explained, him being abused, his mom watching his mom die in front of him, the girlfriend thing, and the alien invasion, none of those things, like, all that you just told me is that Bruce Banner is a mentally ill human man who, if he gets too stressed, angry, excited, he might turn into a 9-foot green rage monster and destroy an entire city. So, yeah, that explains why the Hulk was so radical. But also, you guys have to think about the fact that Bruce, like, Jen is only able to switch in between Jen and this so quickly because she has the refined serum. She has the smart Hulk version of it. I'm 100% sure that that's what it is. Versus freaking Bruce, everything in him, it's like he got the beta. He didn't even, actually not even the beta, he got the alpha of this serum. He got the worst version of this serum. He's got the split personality. This thing gave him a split personality. It not being his choice, that's a lie. He definitely made those experiments on himself. So, like, that's a lie. You didn't watch the Ed Norton version? You didn't watch the Eric Bana or whatever his name was, Bana version? 100%. I think the Bana version didn't have, or it was an accident, but in the Edward Norton version, of the, like, credits or the pre-credits, you can see that it was his choice. It was an experiment on himself. So, his fault? But he gets the worst version of this serum. And that's why he's had to go through everything. Versus Jen has now this, because it's not her arc. Again, it's not her arc. You moron. I don't know, man. People just don't understand. And it's all men who just don't want to see. They just don't want to think with their brains. Honestly, it's really funny. I would read a million of these if I could, but I'm running out of time. This episode's gone on too long. You guys are idiots. If you're a man and you're watching this and you didn't, or you're listening to this and you didn't like She-Hulk, go watch it again. But this time, watch it and think to yourself, you know, I might be stupid. Because, hey, guess what? You are. You're a moron. You don't know anything. I know everything. Thank you for listening to the Ticker Ripper podcast. If you liked this episode, please, share it with your pals. You can also follow and subscribe on whatever app you're on. I think some of them follow, some of them subscribe. Interact with the podcast if you're listening on Spotify. I've got some questions up that you can answer. They're pretty cool. Obviously, you can yell at me on Twitter at Ticker Ripper Pod. You can listen to this through there. My links are on there. But also, more importantly, you can yell at me if you think that anything I said was wrong, or if you are a guy who wants to fight me, go for it. But actually, I don't even want you to fight me over the text. Be on the show, man. I literally have a Discord together that I can invite you in. We can talk, we can chat about it. So you're just in, dude. You're in, baby. So let me know. DM me at Ticker Ripper Pod. DM me if you want to be on the show. I really don't care. I have very little standards for where this show is going to go. But we'll figure it out, baby. See ya. Oh, and I hit the button again. I keep hitting the space bar because that's how Audition does it. Audition does it to where you hit the space bar and it unpauses or stops recording the show. But unfortunately, I'm not on Audition anymore because I can't afford Adobe because Adobe's like $500 a year. So I have to hit the record button, which I never do. So I'm sitting here clicking my little space bar, expecting it to pause, but it won't pause because this isn't Audition. This is Audacity, a free version of Audition, which is not as good. But at the same time, I really appreciate the fact that it's free. And now I'm rambling on and on and on for about a minute now about the fact that I can't end this podcast with my space bar. Oh, and I hit the record button and it still didn't stop recording because I'm not supposed to hit the record button. I'm supposed to hit the stop button. And now I look like an idiot because I didn't hit the right button two times. I've been hitting the wrong button every single time. Ugh, I'm off. I'm out of here, dude.